Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
Practicing your martial arts and your apologetics is not only doable, but it's reconcilable. Kirby Anderson explains, now on Probe.
In the beginning of the movie Enter the Dragon, Bruce Lee admonishes his young disciple to feel, not think. He wants to see emotional content, not anger, in developing his practice. Technique is like a finger pointing away to the moon, but we must not focus on the finger or we will miss the heavenly glory. Lee sends his pupil away after several slaps on the head, convinced that he has mastered the lesson. This scene illustrates the close connection between the martial arts and Zen Buddhism. Lee's lesson was entirely Zen in approach. Its object was the perfection of a kick technique with enthusiasm. A mere mechanical performance was insufficient. The student must feel his art as well as accurately execute it. This means the technique should be as natural and unconscious as breathing. It must become second nature. On the other hand, Lee's object lesson was not really about kicking, but feeling as a means to enlightenment or nirvana, a state of realization that the self does not exist. This week we're going to look at Christianity, Zen, and the martial arts with the research done by Lawrence Terlizzi. And let's begin by asking some questions. Does practicing the martial arts mean that we must also adopt Zen Buddhist practice as well? Can we separate the martial arts from Zen practice and belief and embrace a Christian approach? In order to do this, we must first distinguish the goal of Zen from martial arts and then see how martial arts may be practiced from a Christian perspective. Zen believes that words cannot adequately convey meaning. They are only the signposts on a map, and not the destination or the finger pointing to the moon, but not the moon itself. Zen relies on flashes of insight connected to feelings or intuition. Zen adopts the Taoist view in world religions, asserting that he that knows does not speak, and he that speaks does not know. This means that the truth or enlightenment that they are seeking cannot be expressed in words. It cannot be found in a book such as the Bible in Christianity, the Quran in Islam, or the Torah in Judaism, or even the sutras found in other forms of Buddhism, but must be experienced. Zen means a way of meditation, a method for attaining enlightenment, not gradually as in other sects of Buddhism, but suddenly through shock and illogic. Truth is found in ordinary life, and the practical is illustrated by the movie Karate Kid, whose main protagonist must sand the floor, or paint the fence, or wax the car before he can actually learn to throw a punch. Karate was not something that could be learned from a book.
This has been Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. To get your free copy of Lawrence Terlizzi's transcript, Christianity and the Martial Arts, just go to our website, probe.org/radio. And join us next time, here on Probe.
You know, in their practicality, Zen adherents are not unlike Americans, which explains Zen's popularity in the United States as part of the counterculture movement of the 1960s. You know, Americans don't like theory, metaphysics, and laborious arguments, but are practical to the point, action-oriented, not cerebral. Americans are pithy in their word usage and prefer axioms and pearls of wisdom succinctly stated as opposed to the long-winded arguments of scholars and professors. Zen relies on dialectical thinking or paradox to frustrate traditional logic in order to shock its followers into realization. Zen uses the koan, an insoluble riddle that can only be understood through persistent contemplation and application to one's life. For example, a famous one is, "What is the sound of one hand clapping?" The smart alecky response of snapping your fingers together like Bart Simpson will earn you a smack on the head or a rap with a bamboo stick from the master and a seat at the back of the class. Zen does not emphasize detachment from life, as earlier Buddhism did, but embraces life. People learn not to retreat, but through immersion. There is no sacred and secular distinction as in traditional religions. A point a monk may prove by burning a statue of the Buddha or declaring that there are no holy images. The koan is actually learned by intuition and cannot be articulated in words. These are not meant to have strict logical answers you can verbalize, but only understand for yourself in meditation. Pointing to a flag waving in a monastery, the monk says, "What is moving the flag or the wind?" The answer is neither. The mind is moving. Zen appealed to soldiers in Japan and was adopted by the military creed known as the Bushido, which was mixed with the martial arts around 1300 AD. It is this Japanese version that is most familiar to Americans. However, Zen originates with the original sage Buddhadharma, which brought the message that cannot be spoken to China in 520 AD. In Zen, we see a clear connection between Taoism, the ancient Chinese religion, and Hinduism. Both believe in a similar view of God as ultimate reality, or the impersonal principle of the universe. In popular culture, we knew this as the Force from Star Wars, the active energy of the universe that animates all things. In theological studies, we call this pantheism, or the belief that all things are God. You know, legendary history says that Bodhidharma brought the martial arts with him as he spread Zen across China. But modern scholarship notes that the martial arts were practiced in China before his coming. The founders of the famous monastery were probably military men who retired to monastic life in 497 AD, and most monks came from the general population where the martial arts were already practiced before the spread of Buddhism. Monasteries were the source of wealth in ancient China, which required defending. The martial arts scholar Don Drager also notes that the martial arts were established in Japan prior to the acceptance of Buddhism, and the joining of these two practices represents a modern innovation. These historical facts lead to the conclusion that martial arts were practiced centuries before the arrival of Zen. There is a certain synthesis created between Zen and the martial arts, in the code, for example, of the samurai, but the fighting arts of all kinds precede Zen. Historically speaking, there is no intrinsic connection between Zen and the martial arts. People practice these arts before Zen and will continue to practice them without Zen today. Also, philosophically speaking, there is no necessary connection between Zen and the martial arts. Zen is a method to achieve enlightenment through shock and a logic, which awakens followers in the realization of the unity of essence with ultimate reality, which means emptying and loss of self. The martial arts were developed for the practical reason of self-defense, sport, and warfare. Now, Drager points out that Zen contributed to the fighting technique of the samurai by helping him empty his mind of all distractions and preparing him for the rigors of military life. It enabled him to transcend mere physical technique. However, there is nothing intrinsic to either system that makes their practice necessary to each other, any more than fencing and fighting techniques of the knights of the Middle Ages must involve Christianity. Zen's contribution to the martial arts is a convenience and incidental and not a philosophical necessity. This means the two can be logically and practically separated without harm or inconsistency to either system. It is possible to engage in martial arts without Eastern religious philosophy. What Christians are responsible for is to find martial arts instructors who teach the techniques without the Zen aspect. You know, a basic principle of apologetics is finding the common ground between two different systems. This includes similar things such as beliefs and morals. This allows for a conversation and friendship to develop. Do not underestimate the power of friendship and empathy. In the final analysis, we're not only about winning arguments or breaking bones for that matter, but winning people, individuals whom God loves. The hardest hearts can be softened by a little kindness and understanding. There are many points in contact between Christianity and Zen, such as love, truth, realism, and even paradox. But the most interesting is individualism. Both beliefs place a strong emphasis on individuality and respect for individual dignity in terms of self-discipline and self-defense, a common ground where both Christians and Zen Buddhists alike share their interest in the martial arts. And we must make it clear that the martial arts are not the sole province of Zen teachers. Christians and Zen Buddhists simply have a common interest in these techniques for the purpose of self-growth, exercise, and sport. The second principle of apologetics is to define the differences between the two systems and seek for the resolution in Christ. There are many differences between Zen and Christianity. Zen is a faith that seeks enlightenment through self-realization, that there is no self. Christianity does not pursue enlightenment, but actually salvation. Buddhism believes that the individual self is an illusion, but Christianity believes that the self is very real and very sinful. Christianity seeks to reconcile the self to a personal God through Jesus Christ. Christianity does seek to empty the old sinful self and replace it with a new self made in the image of Christ. This is not accomplished through works or meditation or following the Eightfold Path, but strictly by faith. Buddhists do not believe in a personal, all-powerful God, but an impersonal force. Christians believe in a personal creator God who stands outside of the created world, making reconciliation impossible in terms of human effort. The Buddha means one who is awakened, which suggests that his title is self-earned and self-appointed. All that the Buddha accomplished has come from within, from his own abilities and merit. The Christ, however, means the chosen one, which suggests that his title was given to him and not earned. It comes from grace and from without or outside of him. One man leads to a system of works, the other to a system of grace. You know, the primary problem with Christians in approaching the martial arts is violence. The martial arts are fighting techniques that can be used for several purposes. The most obvious is self-defense, then exercise, and finally sport. We approach these techniques with the same Christian principles that we use in our approach to any other subject. We are free in Christ. Paul declares that we are saved in Christ and the world is ours. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "For all things belong to you, whether the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." This means that we can use the gifts and talents at our disposal not for self-glorification, but for the glory of God. Remember the first principle of Christian love, that is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Practice the martial arts with a commitment that reflects your love for God. We do all things for the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10. These principles do include self-defense. It is not unloving to defend yourself or an innocent person from an unjust attack. Self-defense has been a long-accepted point in Christian theology for centuries. This principle has been part of just war thinking and simply means that Christians are justified under certain conditions to defend themselves and innocent people against aggressive parties who will take advantage of them. In fact, not to defend ourselves or the innocent through inaction would be, again, something that would be considered as wrong as the assault itself. But again, the martial arts have an advantage of training and discipline that act as a hedge against immature and reckless behavior. It takes years to learn these skills, and with it, one is taught self-control, discipline, and values, especially the value of human life. What is completely unacceptable is the idea of training remorseless killing machines like the sensei from Karate Kid movie who actually taught his pupils to crush their opponents and show no mercy. Such a view will only lead to your own destruction, for it is not without reason that Jesus said, "Those who live by the sword will die by the sword, but blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Mercy is the hallmark of the Christian. We learn in order to serve, just as Jesus said, "The Son of God has not come to destroy life, but to save it." Those pursuing martial arts should use their skills in the service of life to achieve discipline, protection, and to offer themselves as role models of dignity, responsibility to the younger generation.